Welcome back to the Shankly Sessions, the Liverpool podcast we bring you each and every week on the Dynamo Podcast Network. Head over to YouTube, smash that subscribe and bell notification button. Joining me tonight for our Liverpool weekly podcast, Dean Fitz. How are we doing, Dino?
I just want to start off with a special shout out. I don't want to come across all soppy and all. I'm one of them sad bastards, but just wanted to say happy birthday. This person is the love of my life. Yeah, it's just number one favorite person of all time. Best in the world is Bobby Firmino. Happy birthday, our Bobby, and to Alisson Becker, best goalkeeper in the world, and Bobby Dazzler.
So two number ones.
Exactly.
Happy birthday to both of them, absolutely. Let's kick off with some news, club news. Reds are out in support at the moment again. The foundation is out there for the NSPCC, Parents in Support Week. Milner, who we know, who's an ambassador of this, but making sure that children have a safe environment for playing sports. Absolutely stellar work that the NSPCC does, you know. Anfield paid tribute to Roger Hunt. Absolutely beautiful seeing that mosaic on the cup, as we always do.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the moments of applause, but I would have loved that in just sheer silence. Just the camera, the way it was behind the Liverpool players looking into the cup. It was magnificent anyway, as always. Anytime someone that's held in such high esteem to the club, they get a send off like that. But I would have loved that just being sheer silence. You know, you would have heard a pin drop, but you know, no criticism at all towards the minutes of applause. You could clap for 10 minutes and it still wouldn't pay homage to a man who will forever be probably our number two all-time leading goal scorer. I don't think that unless most that plays until he's about 35, 36 at Liverpool. But yeah, it's always the same. Someone that's held in such high esteem, they always get the send-off they deserve by the fans. And I should such short notice as well, let that be known as well, because I just seen all the stuff they were putting out, looking for volunteers to get down to the game and lay the cards and all. So kudos to everyone that was involved in that. And we'll never forget. So, Roger.
Absolutely. Also this week, we've seen a change to the Standard Chartered logo with this Future Makers logo that's come on to the shirt now. And we observed it yesterday in the Man City game. Interesting development there. Hard to know really when these changes happen, isn't it? When you've kind of gone out and you've bought the shirts and then it changes.
To be honest, I didn't even notice it. Yeah. If I'm honest, ever since Carlsberg was taken off the jersey, they could change that every week and I wouldn't even notice it. Once is there money coming in from this? That's all I want to know, Bill.
There's always money coming in for me, you know what I mean?
But FSG, it's all about the dollar, baby.
Yeah, we're not far away, are we, in football, really, from having tops that look like, you know, the cycling tops with all the sponsors on them that you literally can't even see the jersey.
Here, someone affiliated to FSG is going to hear you saying that. And before you know it, they'll be coming out like fucking Lewis Hamilton in his pre-match gear, fucking sponsored left, right and centre. But with all the money that FSG have, I think it's about time they start putting fans' faces on the front of jersey. Imagine Mo Salah running around with your mush on the front of his jersey.
Listen, my mush is already over there on the superstar. That's more than enough for me, to be honest. I always say to people, Spotify is where it's
it's nice to see, you know what I mean? You do miss the Carlsberg on the shorts.
Yeah.
I personally do anyway. And I look back at all the old shorts I have and you just miss that logo that was forever affiliated with the best in the world and stuff like that. Yeah. Probably the best in the world.
Yeah, but you do see at the moment, isn't there? There's just little sort of logos appearing here and there every so often, you know what I mean? And
the Premier League is such a cash cow now. Everybody is trying to get their names, whether it be a small little print at the back of the bump or the bottom of the jersey at the back, or if it's on the sleeve or it's inside the collar. Before you know it, it is going to come to a stage where you'll have six or seven sponsors on a football shirt. You know, once there's money involved, you know, God, geez, 10 years down the line, God knows how much money is going to be involved in football, the way things are going.
Absolutely. Let's move on. Goal of the Month contenders has been released onto the website. I presume we're about going for Naby, are we?
Naby Cantona, nah. You know, come here. Yeah, it's the only time I'll ever affiliate a Liverpool player with a Man United player, but that goal and the celebration, you know, and it's Eric Cantona. You kind of, you let it slide. Yeah. Naby Cantona, that's going on a T-shirt soon. That's probably going on a T-shirt for our trip to Brighton. And just as he turns and the camera looks at him, and he's kind of just like, did I leave the immersion on or not? There's no question, like, there's no goal to even come near it. Curtis's goal was class. There was a few build-up goals where that's just first time volley, bad foot. Come on, it's the only one winner. But like, then the goal of the season is Mo's goal at the weekend. That won't be touched.
Yeah, I was about to say that October's one is already wrapped up, and don't let that be a drawback to not scoring in October. The fact that the goal of the month is already sorted. Just try and outdo it if you can, boys. Happy days. But I think I'd kind of be happy for Curtis and Naby maybe to draw and to get it each, maybe. Wouldn't be such a bad thing either, you know. We're big Curtis Jones fans here on the show.
What's this? Gary Neville is giving out joint players that he are player a man of the match awards now, so you can give out joint goal of the month awards. But yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, some absolutely cracking goals have been scored by Liverpool this season. But just on Mo's yesterday, gonna take some beating to beat that goal.
Absolutely.
As I said yesterday, we ran out of superlatives for this guy. Imagine if he takes it up a level or two. I still think he hasn't enough belief in him in front of goal. Like, you look at some of the chances he's missed this season. If he hits a rich vein of form, I know he is on one at the moment, but I personally think that there's another two levels in this guy. And if he hits one, if he goes up another level, like, you're looking at least 30 goals this season in the league. If he goes up to two levels, I think he has, God knows, the sky's the limit. If he continues on this way and he doesn't win the Ballon d'Or, I think I'll just give up on watching football. I might start watching fucking bowls or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, the main thing with this guy, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, is let's just get the contract sorted, you know?
Yeah, get what he wants.
FIFA 22, I mentioned it to you the other day, the FIFA 22 rankings were released. Yeah. And I'm still, I think since that video was released with Robbo and Virgil, I think I've watched it 3 times at this stage. And the more I watch it, the more stuff I pick up on where they're absolutely just ripping the piss out of the lads. Like, and it's just hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. Like, when the team is doing well and you have that kind of stuff going on in the background, you know what I mean? It just builds and builds and builds. As I said during the summer, if Liverpool want to get back to being the great team that we were, we need to have that, you know, togetherness in the squad that we've seen the year. We probably that 4 years, like, where the league, that we lost the Champions League final, you know, you could see it building in that. And then we went on and won the Champions League, lost the league by a point, went on and won the league. And then you watch at the end of the storm, the documentary, and you just see, it's just every single day. It's like everybody was, like, anyone that had personal problems when they went into training, it was literally, there was a bubble around it. And it was like, right, lads, forget about everything that's going on in our personal lives. We're in this together. It's not individuals. It's just one against everyone. And videos like that, you know, you can't help but laugh. Again, I just can't take anything to do with Joel Matip seriously. Just the absolute piss take. It's absolutely. Yeah. Do you know who Van Dijk and Robbo remind me of? Del Boy and Rodney.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, they should
imagine getting a piss up with them too. Yeah. We always, when they talk about ex Liverpool players and current Liverpool players, and I'm saying to myself, who would you love to go on a piss up with? I'd love to go with Carragher just for his knowledge on football. Kenny Dalglish, and from the current squad, you obviously can't go with Sadio and Mo because of their religion. But Carre, Kenny, Virgil, and Robbo. Imagine the crack you'd have at that table.
Unbelievable.
That's like a wet dream for a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at Robbo in the video, and he presents, you know, these little video cards that they have that, like, you know, displays the different rankings and all. And like the players are saying to him, should I open this up? And he goes, oh, you can open it up all right, but you're probably not going to be happy. And he just walks off, like, you know what I mean? He just doesn't have a care in the world. And I love the way Liverpool does these videos as well, because what happens is, as fans on the outside, we think these guys are just robots. They're robotic. They go in and they train, they eat their food, they go home and they sleep and they show up match day and they train and boom, 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 boom. But there's actually such a big human element to this within the squad, where these guys are actually human beings and they do have to crack and they do have to banter between themselves and stuff like that. So it is great to see it and that we get an insight into it as well, you know?
Yeah, Noel, sorry, just before we go any further, I know we started off the show with me old sing song about my favourite player, but a special happy birthday to one special Roy Evans. 35 years at the club, 29 major honours, 13 league titles and 4 European Cups. That's a true Liverpool legend. So happy birthday to Roy Evans.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Let's move on anyway. Russ Fraser, named as Liverpool FC Women's first managing director, came in, I think he spent 15 years with Leicester working in a similar role. So great to see development all the time happening there and stuff like that, and putting in the proper structures and laying the foundation for success and ongoing success.
Hopefully that like something comes from that, because it wasn't long ago the Liverpool ladies team won the league, you know, and that was a massive, massive feat for Liverpool ladies team. You know, it's great to see now LFC TV, there's a real strong backbone to structure behind. They've shown that games and shown the training sessions and the inside Liverpool videos we see on LFC TV. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes with the women's team as well, which is massive. And one thing I want to point out is City, Chelsea, Arsenal were the dominating force in women's football for a long, long time. We had a couple of Irish superstars there, Emma Bourne in goal. But as soon as, you know, women's football started taking like a bit of a platform, Chelsea and City started piling money into that as well, bringing players out from the States, from Japan, Sweden, Germany, all of the big nations in women's football. Whereas Liverpool, I know they got relegated a couple of years ago, they're starting to gradually build up again, you know, the right way, which you'd love to see a spending cap in the Premier League, but necessarily I'd love to see a spending cap in women's football, because as soon as Chelsea and Man City realised that there was something massive happening with women's football in the UK, i.e. you have them, like, there's a massive backing behind it now on Sky Sports. BBC Two show a game every Saturday or Sunday in the afternoon on the Match of the Day special. And because there's so much money involved in that now as well, they've been piling money in to their women's teams, you know, and it's an unfair advantage as it is in football. And that slightly is being envious as well, because you'd love to have the money and go out and give the salaries to these massive players to come in and play for Liverpool men's team. But I just think with women's football, it always had a tradition of just being a level playing field, but not anymore. So, you know, not long ago, Liverpool women's team were league champions, and they had a massive, massive team going on there. You know, they did get relegated a couple of years ago, but they're starting to come back. And, you know, hopefully this is the start of something exciting building again.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see the development of women's football over the last 5 years or so. Absolutely outstanding. And even the quality of the football has been brilliant.
Yeah. There's a few girls playing that are better than half the lads in the Premier League.
Yeah, let's move on. Tributes have been paid to former player liaison officer Norm Gard, who sadly passed away. He spent 15 years with the club. I've seen pictures there of him with Gerrard and stuff like that. And this guy must have played a huge part in these guys' careers in terms of, I'd imagine it's that link between the club and the player, and it's such a tough link. It takes a special person to really do that role, to, you know, to like have the club's best interest at heart and the player's best interest at heart and marry them together. So like we said, we'd pay tribute to Norman Gard, who sadly passed away. He spent 15 years at it, you know, so I'm sure he had a huge influence in a lot of players there who were successful. Let's get into player watch. A lot of this will be centered around probably the reaction to the Man City game from the players, but also a couple of call-ups. Obviously, Hendo got called up to the England squad and Curtis got called up to the under-21s. Probably no surprise.
Probably no surprise, but, you know, I'm slightly surprised that Curtis wasn't called up to England first team. And that's not going off bias as being a Liverpool fan, but yeah, I just thought the way he performed the last couple of games, you know, we did kind of have an off day against Brentford. He scored that fantastic goal. But like, it wouldn't have done him any harm to call him into this team. You see, with a lot of stuff with the England team is like they're blessed. Well, we say blessed, they haven't really been challenged in many group games for qualifiers and all, but like, it's always the player like Tammy Abraham is coming back into the squad. You know, he's had a good start to the season in Italy, but why not give a chance to Curtis Jones, the first team? I know it's a learning curve and he'll build off the under-21 experience, but you know, with the way the England group is, you know, there's a lot of guys who've been tried and tested. You know, I was slightly surprised that he didn't get called up to the first team, but look, it is what it is. His time will come, and especially when I look at the likes of Mason Mount has kind of gone off the boil. Phil Foden is a special player. I know they don't necessarily play in the same positions, but Phil Foden had an unbelievable game yesterday. But you know, he's been hot and cold as well this season. Jack Grealish didn't really do anything yesterday. So you know, if Curtis had been called into the England first team, I wouldn't have been surprised, but I'm slightly surprised that he wasn't. But look, his time will come. He's on a learning curve. So yeah, have a good under-21 international break. Come back in for that Watford game. I think, regardless of how the international break goes, I think he should start against Watford, unless he picks up an injury. I think he's done enough in the last couple of games, as well as the goal against Brentford, to keep his name on the team sheet and let the other two boys fight it out, get back into the team. Because what'll happen is you'll have Thiago and Keita coming back straight back into the team. That's going to crush Curtis. So, you know, let him hold on to that spot and let the other two boys, when they get that chance, push him out of the team if they can.
Yeah, well, I think if you look at the midfield yesterday for the City game, he was the better of the three, wasn't he?
100%. Jordan Henderson was absolutely woeful yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, he reminded me of why I hate him so much before that glorious evening in Carragher's Bar in New York. He just couldn't put a string of passes together at all. He was all over the shop. He was taking shots and they were hitting the corner flags. But look, as I said, you know, these are humans. You know, they're not going to play out a skin every week. Like I talk about Salah, I still think he's another two gears to go up. Sadio's being off the boil. Jota's kind of, you know, in and out of games. I thought Fabinho and Henderson weren't great yesterday, but I thought Curtis, you know, made the most of his chance against City played as good as they did against Chelsea for me. So in hindsight, looking at it now, like kind of sleeping on it, it was a good point to get. You're always frustrated when you don't win your home games, but it was a great point to get because we could easily got trounced yesterday.
Yeah, I think we're being a point off top in the league and cruising in the Champions League at the moment. And you know, we're balancing out the fact that we lost Thiago and that we lost Trent and that, you know, Naby's kind of only come back and stuff like that. So we are balancing some of those injuries as well. And as you said, we have a level or two still to come up to really hit our form.
100%. And City are playing at their peak now, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I still think with Pep, he's still trying to figure out his 11, isn't he?
Yeah, it's going to tell, though. I think that after Christmas, I know we're still a far way away from Christmas, it's going to tell after Christmas when they get out of Champions League groups. I'd imagine they will. Mm. The pressure, as I said yesterday, the pressure on Man City to finally win a Champions League. Last year, we all thought it was written in the stars that they were finally going to do it. Mm. But there was a few of us that actually thought Chelsea and Tuchel would nullify them, which they did, and they obviously got the important goal and won the game. So the only place left for them to go, if they've won everything else, is win the Champions League. And I just think after Christmas, if there's a really, really tight like title race going on, which I imagine there'd be four teams, probably 4 or 5 points in it, and City going into the Champions League knockout stages, then we're going to see what Man City are made of, because there's massive pressure on him to win the Champions League this year. Especially, yeah. I think this might be his last season. I think he will go back to Barcelona next year.
Mm. I think there's pressure on him as well in terms of accommodating players, isn't there? Because like you see it yesterday where he played Foden, who's an exceptional talent, and very difficult to take out of the team. That's a big decision. But then he has to kind of play Grealish up the middle. And it's kind of like, it's very hard to not accommodate a player that's 100 million quid and was your star signing this year, you know what I mean? But I don't think Grealish up the middle works at all. I mean, there was very little out of him yesterday, really, you know?
If Man City had brought in a world-class striker, I think they'd be on another planet now. They're missing that killer instinct up top. Jesus is a decent player. Your dad said at the start of the summer that Jesus is probably the best number two striker in the world at the moment. He's had been given countless chances now, starting up top. And I was looking on Friday, they were doing a joint 11. Combined 11 of Liverpool and Man City. And I seen two City, ex-City players putting Jesus in ahead of Jota just for that. Mo was obviously in the attack. Phil Foden was on the other side. And then just that out-and-out striker. And they picked Jesus over Jota. And I was like, lad, you're on that crack pipe that Wenger was on. Because there's not a hope in hell, going off current form, that Jesus is better than Jota. And Jota's not playing well either, in my opinion. He's in and out of games, you know, but he's still scoring goals. So, you know, I just think City really, and they said it about 20 times yesterday, City, they missed a trick by not bringing in a striker. Yeah. Big, big time. Yeah, because we have Bobby coming in, you know, came in the other night, got two, and Jota, you know, I've no problem whoever starts week in, week out, Jota or Bobby.
Yeah, I think if I was picking a combined 11, if I was picking a City player up front, I'd probably put Ferran Torres in before I put Jesus in.
Exactly. My point, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was surprised not to see him come on yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt as if Pep just got caught up in the emotion of the game, didn't he? And just lost it.
Yeah, he was seriously yeah. Well enough.
And before,
and it seems to be a regular occurrence when Man City come to. Like, if that had been a game behind closed doors, as was last year, I don't think you'd have seen much animation. I think you would have seen Milner getting sent off then, if that was a game behind closed doors, you know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, he gets himself way caught up in the moment. He needs to take a chill pill.
Yeah,
it's going to say he lose the rest of his hair, but he has none.
Yeah, it's like he gets caught up in the moment and like it takes him about 10 minutes to try and calm back down. And, in that 10 minutes, he doesn't change anything, like that he could be focusing more on the game.
Yeah, you can see the fan in him when he comes to Anfield. He gets so caught up in the emotion. Everyone talks about like how Anfield is influencing refs and stuff like that. No, it's not. It'll never be like Old Trafford. Refs shit themselves when they went to Old Trafford. They were afraid of Fergie. They were afraid of the backlash of the fans. They were afraid of the backlash from the ex-players that were doing punditry and stuff like that. Look, it is what it is. Dermot Gallagher said today, I can't think of the ref's name, but only the ref knows why he didn't give that yellow card yesterday. And like us, we can't complain. We got a point out of the game, but you can't dwell on it. He didn't get sent off. City go again. We go again. So, look, it is what it is. I think he needs to just swallow his pride. Did you see the pictures of him with Milner after the game? And the two of them are standing in the tunnel and they were laughing and joking. So, yeah, as you said, he gets too caught up in these things. And for that 10 minutes, if he just took a deep breath and sat back and relaxed, he could have changed something in the team that could have went on and won the game.
Yeah.
But he sits there, like, absolutely livid. Yeah, look, just as we're talking about it, they're giving out about on Sky Sports.
I suppose the thing about it is, I mean, we talk about Milner a lot. He tends to pick up a booking and it tends to be early in the game. And then he tends to ride his luck a lot. And I think because he's such a likable, lovable kind of character, that like even when he puts in a boot like yesterday, it's like as if the ref don't feel obliged to send him off or something like that. Because he just gets up and brushes himself off, gives a cheeky smile to the ref and trots off, like, you know what I mean?
We've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, he is that, like, Mr. Likeable in the Premier League. He's so cute, but not in a cuddly way. He knows exactly what he's doing. Like, when he got booked yesterday, early on in the game, I was saying to myself, look, I wasn't even worried because he's so clever. But then when he made that tackle and he was whipped off straight away after we scored our goal, we rode our luck yesterday, big, big time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like, I kind of explain it like it's as if you go out and you do your shopping and you come in and then your granddad turns around you and says, you wouldn't go to the shops for us, would you? you're gritting your teeth and you want to say something and you want to take action, but you know you can't do it because it's your granddad. You know what I mean? So it's that kind of way, you know. So I just look at it that way and I just think no one wants to be that ref that actually sends him off. But I would fear that it is coming. Eventually we will get one, he'll go, fuck this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hopefully it's when the league is won.
Yeah, absolutely. Last day of the season when we're 12 points ahead. Salah Mane named in the AFCON team of the 21st century. No surprise, really, is it?
No. Sadio's one goal away from 100 Premier League goals. You know, that's no mean feat by any means. There's a real historic, glorified list of players who managed to get them 100 Premier League goals and definitely deserves to be on that list. Mo Salah, as Jamie Carragher said yesterday, in 10, 15, 20 years' time, when we talk about greatest 11, Mo Salah is definitely going to be on the right side of that team. I've in my generation, you've had the luck of watching Keegan, Dalglish, you know, all these unbelievable players. And we were talking about Roger Hunt. One of my regrets is I never got the chance to watch them live in the flesh like I have this team. Let's start out. So when my first ever Liverpool game, Robbie Fowler and Ian Rush were up top. Michael Owen came in with Robbie Fowler. They were the two. And Emil Heskey was he done a job for us. And then Fernando Torres came in and broke all our hearts, but you know, on his day was just like, you know, unbelievable, Fernando Torres. Then Luis Suarez came in and took it to a whole nother level. I think on that season alone could be in an all-time Premier League 11 if just for that season alone. And then Mo Salah has come along. You know, to have that luxury as a Liverpool fan to have watched all of those players in the flesh has just been mind-blowing. And Sadio Mane on that list as well. And let's talk about the fact that these guys aren't even strikers. Where would this team be without their goals? You know what I mean? The fact that two wingers have come in and done what they've done for the club, totally deserved. You know, it'll be a sad day when they leave the club, and I hope both don't leave the club anytime soon, but totally deserve being in the AFCON team of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah. I often sometimes, you know, I know where you're coming from, that like they're not even strikers, but sometimes I find it's unfair when we say that because they're both so good. You know what I mean?
But I say that out of respect to them, that they've done what they've done without being an out-and-out striker.
Yeah.
You know, if you, like Bobby's like record is, everyone talks about, you know, Bobby's like, he's not as good as he was and he's overrated. For one season alone, the two boys, I think they scored over 100 goals between them. You know what I mean? And the assists level was on another planet as well. So I think it's only people who don't support Liverpool that don't respect these guys. And you'd be few and far between to find players or fans now who won't give Mo Salah credit. But you know, the day the three of them leave the club, or when the last of the three has left, I look forward to sitting down and doing a Shankly session and a look back on the band, because when the band is together, there's no happier feeling. When the three boys scored the other night against Porto, you know, it's been a long time since the three lads scored in the same game. And I was fucking buzzing. It was the first thing I said when we went live. Yeah. I said, the band is back together. I'm getting goosebumps on the back of my neck. That, I don't think they'll ever be replaced. I think when our kids are at our age, I say that like I'm fucking your age, but I think, you know, that to judge the next generation by these trees, you know, that's the ultimate tribute to the boys, that these, the next three players that come in after these are gone, you know, this is the level that's being set. You need to get somewhere, anywhere close to it to consider yourself great.
I think when we do that episode, we'll probably look like, you know, the two old lads, you know, the two old lads in the boot out of the Muppets talking about the good old days at Liverpool. And I'm even further back and further back, you know what I mean? Just for anyone who's listening, by the way, when he talks about Keegan and all this, I watch it on YouTube as well. I'm not actually.
You're doing your fuck. Your fourth ever game. your first ever game at Anfield, Kenny, that or Kevin Keegan was only 25. You poxed it.
Shanks was giving me a high five. Jordan Henderson came out after the draw yesterday. Said it was frustrating, but we will learn. Which I think was a point that we made ourselves, that it is frustrating, especially in this game and the Brentford game, to have taken the lead twice and let it go away and not control the game and the tempo. We spoke about it last night as well on the reaction. So Hendo was spot on, you know, and as you said already, he had a very bad game by his standards and was never really in it.
That's why looking back on it now, looking back at the sleeping on it, you know, we're looking at how bad, not necessarily how bad players performed, but it was so disjointed. You know, there were three or four players who were really, really off yesterday. So for City to play so well, us to play so disjointed and nowhere near what we'd expect. We weren't even halfway near what we'd expect. Mm. We turned it on for the two goals. I sent you that video today, the aerial view of Sadio's goal. That's exactly what we can do when we put our minds to it. So for us to get a point, not playing well, you know, you have to be happy with the point. Yeah, you have to be, because that could easily have been 3 or 4-1 yesterday.
Yeah, I think Mo also was asked after the game. He said, what did you think of the result? And he said, did you think the result was a fair result? And he said, well, I'd like to say no. But he says, on the balance of the game, I think it was a fair result to draw, you know. So it's Mo being brutally honest and fairness. I think the boys themselves know for 45 minutes they didn't show up. And I think if you don't show up against the top teams for at least 90 minutes, you know, you're going to struggle. You're going to draw or potentially lose. You have to show up for 90 minutes. 45 minutes doesn't cut it. And I know today when I dropped the player ratings, I know one of the lads came on and he said, do you not think you're being harsh on Mo there by giving him an 8 and not a 9? And I made the point and I said to him that a game is 90 minutes, not 45 minutes. You'll never see a better goal. It's absolutely outstanding. But if we play it the way we played against Porto, or if we play it the way we know a level up, the way we can play for 90 minutes, as you said in the preview, we'll blow City away. There's no doubt about it.
That's what was so frustrating, is because the first 45 minutes, it's like we played 90 minutes and extra time against Porto, and it was literally backs to the wall trying to catch them on the counter. What annoyed me so much was the fact that we played so well against Porto at a canter and wiped the floor with them. So to go in, I was buzzing for the game yesterday. I thought the fans would be right up for it, the players would be straight out of the blocks, be 1,000 miles an hour. It was so quiet in the ground. And then, I'm not sure who said it, whether it was Ted, Greg, or was in, but when we scored the first goal, and they were like, Jesus, the atmosphere, and I was like, yeah, but rewind it back to the 5 minutes before the goal, you could hear the pin drop. This is starting to become a regular occurrence, week in, week out in league games. But yeah, when Atletico Madrid come to Anfield, it's going to be, you know, the roof could come off if we scored a goal, and it'll be like that for 90 minutes, unless we're 2 or 3 down, where the fans will kind of be a bit dimmer than they usually are. But I was so excited for the game. I thought the fans would be right up for it. It'd be a real raucous affair. You know, the City bus coming in, I didn't think it'd be smashed up this time around, but I thought they'd get a welcome to hell welcome coming in. Even the Liverpool bus coming in, it was basically a little, come on, Liverpool. And I was like, where's that atmosphere gone? And I never questioned the fans. Everyone talks about, you know, a lot of people say, you know, Anfield's the toughest ground to go to in world football and the best fans in the world. I always pick up on the atmosphere in the ground, and I fell out with countless fans. I fell out with fans while I've been in the ground, because I love going, having that sing song. And the last few times I've been there, I've been looking at fans, looking at me, basically saying, hey, shut the fuck up and sit down and watch the match. And I'm like, get behind the fucking team, like. But you'll turn up for a Champions League game and you'll be screaming your fucking, like when you rang me from Anfield, you were fucking crying, singing You'll Never Walk Alone. I was sitting in a boozer, my mom, my dad, me missus and the baby, and I'm standing in front of the telly with Lewis watching, like looking at the telly, and you video call me and we're singing A Never Walk Alone, and I'm standing in a pub with tears in my eyes and you're sobbing your heart out. And you're like, why is this not every fucking week? You know, we are Liverpool, this means more. Show us it means more. Every fucking week, whether we're playing Man City, AC Milan, Real Madrid, Barcelona, or we're playing fucking Boreham Wood, show that we are Liverpool and this means more, because that, at the end of the day, that will tell. City fans don't even come close to what we are. Chelsea fans have come out of woodwork since they won the Champions League trophy, in my opinion. Man United fans are what Man United fans are. You know, you can't not give them credit. They are very, very passionate fans. But Liverpool fans, we talk about being the best fans in the world and all. Let's fucking prove it week in, week out, because at the end of the day, everyone talks about the 12th man. We know that that 12th man is there. It's dragged us through countless games. Now we need it more than ever. We don't have that quality that Man City have. So we need the fans to fucking suck the ball into the net.
Yeah, it was like yesterday, it was like it was a two-way street, really, wasn't it? Because we started out very nervous, and that nervousness spread to the fans. And then the comeback was a lot less. But I think once we scored, you see how it lifted. But that AC Milan night was absolutely surreal. I mean, the place was hopping. And as you said, it was also surreal as well, because I was looking at you, looking at me on the telly. So it was kind of like, it was a very weird kind of situation as well, you know. But I
we'd had a plan all day. And even like when I turned you around and showed you my mom and dad and all. But we'd had that planned all along, because I was devastated that I couldn't go. But I'm watching it on the telly, and you could hear the atmosphere above. Not like pubs always have music in the background. You could hear it above that. You knew the fans were back. You knew it was the first night in Anfield under the lights again in over 18 months. You knew what it meant to people. Like, I only needed to look at you. If there'd only been you on the ground, I knew what it meant to you. I knew what it meant to Ben. I knew what it meant to Dylan. You know, I knew what it meant to everyone that was there that night. But again, it comes to the weekend and the league games, and it's like it's just full of commercial tourists. They're just over to put their money into FSG's pocket in the shops, go in, watch the game, and then fuck off back to the hotel or whatever. And like, there's real fans out there who can't afford to go week in, week out, who we know will go and sing to their heart's content and won't be able to talk for two or three days. Like, listening to you doing the match reaction you might have been in the hotel or wherever you were staying after, and you could hear in your voice, that you'd given it everything you had for the 90 minutes. I want to see that atmosphere back. You know, I can't wait till we go. I'm absolutely fucking buzzing for us to go. I genuinely can't. Our mate Limerick Lee is coming as well with his old man. Like, it's going to be an unbelievable weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll have an absolute belter of a time. Record a load of content as well for our viewers and all, and have an absolute belter. Well, this has been this week's Shankly Sessions. It seems like we're just banging out this Liverpool content day after day after day. As always, if you want to contact the podcast, we're on Twitter at Session Shankly. You'll get us on Facebook and Instagram, The Upper Tier. The videos are on the Dynamo Podcast Network, and the audio, as always, is on Spotify.
Coming soon to the Shankly Sessions OnlyFans.
Only on Spotify, though. Till next time, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Adios, amigos.